Hello, everybody. This is Rabbi Yaakov Fish here on my weekly podcast, Let There Be Light, with an ongoing mission to uncover pockets of light in an increasingly dark world. I record this message today on the seventh day of Hanukkah 2020, 5781. And there was this idea that's been marinating in my head for some time, and I want to share it with you. And that is as follows. And the way I'll open up the conversation will be, when we think about what's the most important quality for a person to have, and obviously that's a very debatable conversation, but specifically when someone would say to you, I'm looking to get married, I'm looking for a spouse, I'm looking for a husband, I'm looking for a wife, what would you advise me the most important quality to look for in a person? So obviously there's not one perfect answer. Everybody may have a different opinion, but I think one of the things that has to rank towards the top of the list is somebody that has, say it in Hebrew first and then translate, somebody has a simchas chaim, somebody that has happiness in life, you know, somebody that walks around life with a happy disposition. Now, let me clarify what I mean by that for a moment. You know, we all get into bad moods, and we all have challenging days, and we all have stressful situations, and that doesn't mean somebody should always be all happy all the time, 24/7. We live in the challenging times, and we live in times that can make our quest for simcha sachayim, for the simcha in our lives, somewhat challenging as well. So what I mean is, when someone has a simcha sachayim attitude in life, they're not walking around life looking at the challenges and the stress in their lives as like life sentences or doomsday scenarios, even if they are sometimes very challenging and very stressful, but they're choosing to take control of their mindset. That's what I mean. They're choosing to take control of their mindset and saying, despite the most difficult circumstances, I am going to choose to choose to have my own presence of mind a different way, in a more optimistic way. There was this, so for example, I saw the New York Times had a challenge to their readers saying, we want someone to write us a letter, so a good thing that happened to them in 2020. A good thing, you know, 2020 is a very challenging year, doesn't need any elaboration. And they had like, I think, over 1,500 letters come in. It was really interesting to see, at least it was to me, how people were able to reframe the challenges of 2020 in a positive way. Like some person said, when I take just a simple thing, now when I want to take a walk during my lunch break, I'm not just walking around the parking lot, I'm able to walk around my backyard, which is much more scenic. It's a small thing. I have no idea who the person is even, but to me that really reflects a larger message about that particular individual. And we talk about simchas chaim, having simcha in life. There is one particular obstacle that I think really prevents us from going into that mode, going into a mode of being more of a happy person, having more of a step in your life, that step with energy, having more of that that joie de vivre, however many languages I can say it in, so far English, Hebrew, and French. But how do we able to capitalize on that? And I think we have to also look at the obstacles. One of the obstacles I want to talk about today, I spoke about an obstacle a couple weeks ago with expectations. I want to talk about an important obstacle to be aware of. And I think it's not only such a compelling message, but I think also a central idea in this week's Parsha. And that is the idea is not letting ourselves become a victim. I'll say it this way, not embracing victimhood. Now, let me explain what this means. You know, maybe other people have a different take on it. This is the way I understand what this means, is that, yes, we have challenges in all sorts of areas. And many times we're at the short end of a challenge, and we may even have a grievance against a particular person or a particular organization or a particular group of people, whatever it is. But to for somebody to internalize his identity or her identity as a victim, for somebody to embrace victimhood into their persona by saying, I didn't get my way, whatever it is, now I'm a victim, is really disappointing ultimately for that person, because that person will not be able to have an optimum simchas achayim, joy in their life. I look around, I see so many people, you know, having challenges in terms of reaching optimum simcha because they have identified themselves as victims. They've embraced victimhood, and that prevents them from realizing their true potential in terms of having the most joyous life that God wants them to have. Just walking around feeling like a victim, you know, absorbing themselves, wallowing in self-pity, and it's just so disappointing to see. But ultimately, most disappointing for the person themselves. You know, one particular group of people that have really been effective in embracing victimhood, and to their detriment, you know, I would say are the Palestinians. And you know, this is not about the Middle East, about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but just in terms of a people that have really absorbed the notion of victimhood into their core, to their core fiber. You have generations now of people living in refugee camps, and you see this sometimes, and it's so jarring when they're, you know, this group of people that you would imagine just would want a better opportunity in life, and they're offered so many steps out of that unfavorable position, and they just continue to identify themselves as victims, as an embracing victimhood, and it comes up time and time again in their rhetoric, in their communication, in terms of the way they try to frame the arguments with Israel. Israel is the Goliath, they're the David. It's much more fashionable to be a David than a Goliath. But it's easy to recognize victimhood when it's on another person or on another group. It's less it's less comfortable to identify victimhood when it's on ourselves, when we're walking around wallowing in self-pity and just saying that I feel taken advantage of, I haven't been listened to, I'm such a victim, why that person wasn't so insulting. You know, and no one says, you know, verbally will state, oh, I am a victim. But just the way they, sometimes the way we act and the way we frame things is that's pretty much what's being communicated from ourselves when we go into that mode. And it's such a easy trap to fall into. You know, number one, victims get sympathy. Sometimes we just want to conjure sympathy for ourselves, and we'll tell other people, look what happened, that person, or that organization, that movement, whatever it is, the government, whatever it is. And not to say that there's no real issues, I'm not trying to dismiss and to say that, and sometimes there is a real victim. There is a real victim. You know, there's God forbid, we shall be protected. But what I'm saying is, for somebody to frame everyday conflicts or conversations in the mode of I am victim, even though it's not happening consciously but subconsciously, is quite unfortunate. And I think we see this, and I made a reference to our parsha when one of the most I would say inspirational figures from the entire Torah, Joseph, comes out of prison now. He had, at this point, had been in prison for a period of 12 years. He'd been in prison for a period of 12 years because he was framed for a false charge. Now, if somebody has to be, imagine, 3 days in prison because of false charges, allegations that were made that were false, I imagine it would be a difficult thing to endure. But here he was in prison for 12 years, and this came after the fact that he was sold as a slave by his own brothers at the age of 17 into a foreign land, to a foreign culture, into a foreign language, and he's gone through these tremendous life-challenging situations. I can't imagine anybody that we know, you know, as you know, maybe we know somebody that was in jail for accused of a false allegation, but that was just the tip of the iceberg for Joseph. The fact that he even got that far, he was sold as a slave, said by his brothers. Now he comes out of prison, and he goes like from 0 to 60. He just doesn't just get exonerated. He doesn't get released from prison, but he goes to the basically the highest ranking government official in the country of Egypt. By the way, Egypt back then was a superpower, and he was just under the Pharaoh, basically managing and operating all the different aspects of the country. And if you think, if anybody had an axe to grind, especially against his brothers that sold him as a slave. Now, the truth of the matter is, he did give his brothers a hard time initially when they came down to Egypt. He did accuse them of a spy, but that was just part of a test. He wanted to see how they would react to the incarceration of Binyamin. But later on, towards the end of Sefer Bereishis, after their father dies, the brothers come over to him, and they're so fearful, and they're full of remorse for what they did. And if anybody ever had a right to feel aggrieved, if anybody ever had a right to feel that they have a score to settle with somebody else, if anybody ever had a right to feel that they were a victim, if anybody ever had a right to embrace victimhood, it was Yosef. It was Joseph. I mean, here were these brothers. They took an innocent 17-year-old and basically threw him to the wolves. You know, most likely would have been killed when he was sold to a slave to a different country, if not for the intervention of God. Now, Yosef was so gracious and so not only just gracious and forgiving, but the fact that he wasn't looking at himself at all as a victim. Throughout the process, even when he was in jail, when he spoke to the Sar Mashkim, the bartender, the chief bartender, and the chief pastry chef, as we saw in last week's parsha, we never find a hint of bitterness or looking at himself as a victim. I find that so refreshing, you know, so refreshing as a lesson to all of us. All of us, you know, here we have these amazing, amazing lives that we, you know, everybody has their own life, and every moment of life is a gift, and every moment is another opportunity for growth. And yes, there are challenges, yes, there is stress, and yes, there are some difficult people, and yes, you know, yes, we may have been, you know, we have been taken advantage of in certain situations, and yes, we may, you know, sometimes have a right to have a grievance. But for someone to go to the next step and embrace their identity, I am a victim, so unfortunate, so disappointing, and mostly so undermines their own joie de vivre, their own simchas achaim, their own happiness in life. It's so easy to fall into that, that mode, that mindset, because self-pity is so addictive. And it's easy not to take control of your own mindset, just say, oh, I'm a victim. But no, to say, you know, snap out of it. Yes, it happened, whatever it was, whoever you had this, you know, stressful encounter with. But to say, no, I'm going to reframe this in the best way I can. I'm going to address it in the best way I can. But just, I'm not going to walk around just sulking and self-pity and framing myself as a victim, embracing victimhood. Because the worst of all who it affects is, it affects myself when I do all that. So I think that's such an important lesson that we see from Yosef, not to embrace victimhood, not to look at oneself as a victim, but rather always to reframe any situation we can, even the most challenging and stressful situation, looking at that as in a positive way. So as we finish the holiday of Hanukkah, and we're looking towards the rest of a winter, and there's a challenge. There are challenging days ahead, no doubt, and there's going to be more stress and more challenges ahead. I think we need to reflect on this idea and always look at ourselves and ask ourselves: are we perhaps falling into this such an easy trap of self-pity and victimhood? And if we are, perhaps to pivot away from it. So those are my thoughts this week. I urge all of you to reflect on that. And if you do, and you're able to, you know, some of that inner gevura, that inner strength, to reframe things and break out of victim mode, I am almost sure that you will see more light in this world. So my blessing to you is have an amazing week and look forward to speaking with you next week. Until then, don't forget, let there be light.